Popular in Cantonese culture.
Let's set the stage. July 2nd, 2012, the day the world changed in comics and publishing.
You may be exaggerating just a little bit.
I remember where I was on that day.
I think I was perusing Twitter, and I saw monkey brain everywhere.
I was brushing my teeth, and I just dropped my toothbrush dramatically
in slow motion
as monkey brain suddenly developed.
Right. So it's been a year since monkey brain started, and I'm fascinated by the whole digital first idea, and you know, people love it. But for you guys, since you started, what have you noticed, you know, things along the way that maybe you didn't see coming, maybe you would have changed, or maybe you'll change in year two or add something? How has the year gone for you guys?
You know, we've continually, I don't want to say course corrected, but we've adapted as things have gone on. For example, like we noticed that certain kinds of formats and release schedules and structures seem to work better than others. You know, lower price point, shorter page length, more frequent serialization seems to be a more viable model for us. And so you see things like Amelia Cole switching from a higher price point, longer page length to that model. But I think the thing that we probably didn't anticipate was that it would get the kind of attention that it did as quickly as it did. We really thought that we would spend the first year or so just out constantly beating the bushes, letting people know that we existed. And instead, within a very short amount of time, you know, a matter of weeks, it seemed like, you would see discussions about new titles, and it would be mentioned that they were monkey brain titles. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating to me that no one ever had to stop and define what that meant. Simply by saying it's a monkey brain book, it was taken for granted that anybody reading that review or that interview or that discussion would know what that was. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's the brand, I think, has grown to the point where someone will be on Twitter saying, you know, I just picked up the new Monkey Brain title.
Yeah,
I can't think of like any other publisher that has that kind of pull with a reader willing to take a chance on a book that they have no idea what it is.
Well, I think Valiant has had considerable success in the last year or so. You know, they are reviving an older brand. But I saw a similar kind of traction where people were discussing it as a line.
But it is kind of a line. They definitely have more of a house style than...
Oh, yeah, and it's a cohesive universe.
Exactly.
Whereas ours is just a collection of really disparate things that are all very different from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Where the only common quality across the board is quality.
The qualitative quality is quality.
Is that on your business card? You can be honest with us right now.
Actually, the on our business cards are the recipes for our favorite cocktails.
The fastest way into your heart is a cocktail.
Yep,
that's right.
The shipping schedule. One of my questions on here is, when is Fabula number 2 coming out? And it fascinates me too, because you kind of have some leeway with creators where, you know, put it out, you know, make it 99 cents and have it, you know, 20 or even 10 pages and see what happens. And do you feel like maybe that still works? Because I mean, me, Fabula is probably one of the best books that you guys had out. And I was like frothing for more issues.
He was. I saw the froth.
There was literal froth.
Yeah. We almost had to put him down.
If that keeps going, you might seek medical attention.
Regardless of my mental health state.
Yeah, I'd love to get Fabula number 2. Dalton must have gotten busy.
It's a busy guy. And
you know, it's kind of that kind of pilot model, like release one and see how it does. That's what happened with Denali. Mm-hmm. Denali by Jay Faber and John Brolia. Brolia?
Yeah.
Let's go Brolia.
Let's do it.
was kind of a one-shot that was left open, and now they've decided to continue it on as an ongoing series. And so number 2 comes out, I guess, tomorrow, now that we're recording this. It comes out on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, we're recording this early, though.
Yeah, a week earlier.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we're in the future.
It came out sometime
ago. Came out last week.
Last week.
Yes. Future.
And it's that format, too. And I reminded, I think even Robert Kirkman did, like, Top Cow had that pilot season.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. where they did those books, which are really cool. And it's shifting to that, you know, put out that stretch of issues and then have it collected as a print issue. And then you get like a whole almost entirely different audience. And then on top of yes. that, you could get the same audience that just wants to give back more and have it on their shelf.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, that's pretty much the whole business model, is that it enables creators to create multiple monetary streams, but also helps them reach very, you know, different audiences. There is definitely some crossover there, but I think that, you know, with the Edison Rex trade that came out last week, and Mask of Mobsters comes out
very soon. Just a few
so,
weeks.
You know, I think that the direct market and bookstores are going to, you know, those shoppers are going to get to have that experience as well.
It's hard to, like, be a creator and then just make a PDF and put it on your, like, blog spot, for lack of a better platform, and expect people to find it. Like, for Monkey Brain, I'm able to find titles that I probably would never have found if someone was just, like, shifting out CBRs from their website.
Oh, totally. And mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that motivated us to start approaching other creators initially, was Monkey Brain as a kind of, you know, publishing model and the economic setup was originally something that Allison had devised in order for me and my collaborators to distribute my comics that I was going to do. But we quickly realized that, you know, she had built a model that would work for anybody's comic, and that one of the real benefits to inviting in our friends and other creators we admired was a kind of strength in numbers thing where, you know, the brand, not in the business sense, but more just kind of as a sign of quality. Like, if you liked one of these things, you might like another, and make it easier for people to discover things that, as you say, they probably would never even know existed otherwise.
Yeah, was everyone just high-fiving at the Monkey Brain office when Bandette was nominated?
Well, the Monkey Brain office being our living room? Yes.
Don't break the fourth wall. You guys have, like, the penthouse suite in, you know, the biggest office
awesome
in the city.
So, I mean, both Greg Rucka and Kurt Busiek want it.
Well, Rucka said he liked it. Busiek said he wanted it.
That's true.
If he could move it to the ocean.
Right. In my head, you guys are just, like, inundated with submissions from people being like, I want to get the visibility that Monkey Brain offers. And I'm curious.
That's true in my head too.
but it's interesting because it's a different model. Like, at cons, people would bring up, like, already printed books saying, like, hey, could you guys just, like, if they go to, like, Dark Horse, or can you distribute this via Diamond for me? But I'm be interested to see, like, what do people bring up to you at cons? They bring up, like, iPads with, like, a PDF and iBooks and show you, like, hey, do you think this would be good for Monkey Brain?
Well, this is why we don't do booths at conventions, yes. because we don't want to be a sitting target.
Well, they find you at the bar.
Yeah. So if people are canny enough to find us in the bar and buy us drinks, then, yeah, we might take a look at their thing.
Especially if they're uncanny.
Yeah. You know, it's a mix. You know, it's been certainly our launch titles in July of 2012 were all things that were initiated because we had asked for them, because we had gone to the creators, as with Paul Taubman, Colin Coover, and said, do whatever you want and we will publish it. And so they went off and came up with Bandette. There's been other things that were finished when they were brought to us. Mm-hmm. And then things like basically in every condition in between, like someone has an idea or there's a creator they want to work with. And in virtually all the cases, you know, it would be something like it's a creator we want to work with because, you know, frankly, we're not doing this for the money. We're doing this because we like comics. And so it has to be somebody first that we like, or at least would be willing to
partner with.
Yeah, you know, and devote a considerable proportion of our free time to promoting their thing. And then the project has to be something that we feel strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we just basically say, just go do it. You know, people want, like, they say, do you want to see, you know, scripts before we get started? If we've okayed a project, they're used to working with other publishers who might have lots of kind of gateways along the way that they have to or hurdles to go through.
Sounds like
we always just say, go make your comic and then give it to us when it's done and we'll take care of the promotion of it.
Sounds like the Freemasons of comic books.
Sure. we need to get fezzes.
Now, yeah. What do you guys find yourself reading in your spare time?
I either am reading contracts.
Never heard of that comic.
Lots of contracts. Or trying to catch up on whatever our book club is reading.
Hmm.
'Cause,
what's this week? Do you even remember?
It's Z, the story of Zelda Fitzgerald. It's over somewhere over there.
It's like a fictionalized version of
Zelda Fitzgerald's life in novel form.
Sounds like a thick book. It's like War. Is it like War and Peace?
No,
it's not that bad. We're in a book club with Matt Wagner and Jamie Rich and Bob Schreck and Mike and Laura Allred.
Man, that is
like all-star book club.
That is an all-star book club. You guys should record that and make that a podcast.
Holy cow, that'd be amazing. I would listen to that over and over again.
I would too. Just put a mic in the middle of the room.
But this time around, basically people nominate titles. And this time around, they nominate like crazy long books.
I
just missed the window to nominate a book that was like 100 pages long. So, yeah.
So I started reading that, and that's pretty good. I mostly am reading Monkey Brain comics.
Sure.
I will tell you, I got to read issue 4 of High Crimes recently, which should be coming out in a few weeks.
Amazing
so.
Book.
I also read other people's comics. so I'm in the midst of rereading all of Jaime Hernandez's Love and Rocket stuff. I'm very excited for this. Will be in the past now when this is posted, but I'm super excited about the Pizza Dog issue of Hawkeye, which comes out tomorrow, Hawkeye is like one of the best things ever. There's a few things online I like. I like Tom Scioli's Satan Soldier, which is serializing at his American Barbarian website. Hmm. What else do I like? Oh, Copra.
You read everything. You got it.
That is a very large range, an acceptable large range, though.
So, I like comics.
And can you tease anything for the second year of Monkey Brain? Where do you guys envision Monkey Brain being, or any new areas that you want to be in?
Well, we're gonna have some big announcements at San Diego this year in a couple of weeks at our panel. So. Stay posted, but I'm looking on that. Should be a lot of new stuff coming down the pike. Basically, just trying to keep up.
Finish reading those contracts and keep up.
Yeah.
Finish making those contracts.
I'm a little behind on that right now.
I might be able to tease a little more specifically, because like one of the things that we wanted to do when we first launched, and so we first started approaching creators in January 2012, inviting them to partner with us and get stuff out. But in addition to new projects, we also realized that we had a real opportunity to reintroduce work that's out of print to a different audience. Older comics, creator-owned stuff that maybe has lapsed out of print, and that younger readers, by which I mean anybody under the age of 40, haven't had a chance to read. And we've talked to a number of different people about bringing their stuff back out digitally, and have had a lot of fruitful conversations. But finally, one of the things that's going to be announced at San Diego is one of those projects.
That's great.
That we've been working on for a while, I'm really excited about.
That Kurt Busiek, Steve Lieber one-shot was one of the best things I've ever read.
That certainly counts as this model, yeah.
Chris and Allison, thanks for coming on. Everyone loves Monkey Brain. It's easy to hop into and access. It's probably the ideal accessibility point for a lot of readers on the edge that are looking for new stuff. So I appreciate all you guys doing. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you guys. We appreciate the support.
You guys are awesome.
Test, test, 1, 2.